Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. So I take time out of my busy schedule and try to give back that which Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name, has given to me. And I have no problems in doing so. And sometimes I'm told by my children, I'm told by my friends that love me as well as my wife, I should slow down. I cannot slow down, brothers and sisters, when things happen like crisis. It just motivates me to want to help you and guide you, and more important, to instill in you the things you ought to know. I cannot make you change. I don't have the will to change you. And I'm not trying to push my religion, Al-Islam, onto you, because if I do so, it belittles Al-Islam. We don't beg people to come to our religion. And surely we cannot make you join our religion. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we do not, there's no compulsory, so we do not try to force anything on anyone. But I want to thank my Christians, and I want to thank my Jewish brothers and sisters, and I want to thank the brothers that's Hindus and those who have not accepted Islam. I welcome you with open arms, because you are the ones that send me viral. I'd be remiss if I don't give you the credit. When I went viral, not once, twice, three times over 1 million people was listening to me. And I have to give credit to those outside of Islam, because my brothers and sisters in Islam was listening, but not as strong as those who was all over the world, humanity. And that's what I like about Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and we try our best to inform you. And I have some wonderful men and women that will bring you the knowledge that they have obtained in the world, and they too enjoy in giving it back. I have a new crew that's coming in. I think it's going to be excellent for New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, and we're going to love to enjoy them to be a party of New Africa. New Africa was created by a group of men that got together, and that was followers of Imam Wali Muhammad and Islam, and they came up with New Africa. Imam loved that. He thought it was excellent. Now, I know sometimes we say, no, the Imam Wali Muhammad created that. Imam follows the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him, may Allah bless Imam Wali Muhammad, separate his faults from his goodness, as thou separate the east from the west. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when a man goes to his community and asks his community, what do you think? Because we know, and it's said over and over and over again, Allah blesses who he pleases when he pleases. Isn't that amazing? So when you understand that, then a gift could come to you by another human being. But Allah also says in the Holy Quran, he said, if my world was plentiful with angels, I would send you an angel. But my world is plentiful with human beings, so I send men to men. But we don't grasp that understanding. Even though we read it, we don't grasp it, because we have men and women that's dynamic in their ability, long track record of their ability and their accomplishments, but we don't call on them. And I believe the reason they are not being called is because they're inferior complex, a major, major inferior complex. They're not bona fide, they're not qualified, and they don't have the ability to take you to the next level, so they don't want anybody around that will shine upon them. That is not Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him. When Prophet Muhammad wanted to know, what do his companions think? He asked the question. Abu Bakr, Kushner, Ali, Saladin, Bilal, tell me what you think. They said, oh, Rasuli, you the best knower. He said, no, I want to know what you think. And they would give it to him. Even at war, when he went to war, yes, did he lead them into war? He asked the brothers, which one of y'all can help us win this war? And if Abu Bakr or Ali said, I can do it, he said, we will follow behind you. That was the prophet. He never pushed himself out front. So when you say you're an imam, that is a leader. But the leader of being an imam is to work in the office, the post, the position that Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, has led. So you have to lead like him, with good character, transparent, honesty, integrity, moral decency. But for some reason, that is not happening. Now, I believe there's two reasons. Penetrated by the powers to be that keep us Delphi, that keep us stuck on stupid, that keep us procrastinating, that keep us from growing. I believe that they are in our midst, or they don't know. They don't want to give it up. You see, when you have people that will greet you and honor you and appreciate you, it can make you big-headed. And that little head on that big body just explodes. But it's the same. When you get too big for everybody else, you're just right for God himself. So therefore, you should understand the Quran gives it to us plain and clear. But for some reason, we do not want to submit to the truth. If we understood the truth, brothers and sisters, we'll be much further than what we are. But the reason we cannot progress is because it's not in the Quran how you conduct yourself. And so my topic today here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks, I picked a topic that just come to my head. And I was told an hour or half an hour before, anytime you go on the air, you send out 15 minutes before the show and ask people to come and listen to a topic. If you send it 2 hours before, they'll forget. If you send an hour before, they'll forget. They will forget because it's not on their mind, the time span. So if you give it to them 15, 10, or 5 minutes before time, then it's, oh, yes, Murad is on. But what is this topic that allows you to go on? Well, we're talking about Abraham. Abraham, you know that, is in the Torah, is in the Gospel, and is in the Quran. So you have Abraham, and you have Jesus. Yes, and you have Muhammad the Prophet. Peace and blessings be upon all of them. Now, I know you may say, we say peace and blessings be upon the prophet. The prophet is all of them. And so you can say Abraham, peace and blessings be upon him. Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. And all the rest of them. But these three right now is very significant because they are more closer to the time span of the rest of them. We can talk about Moses and Noah and Joseph and Lot. We can talk about that. But I choose these three because when you say Abraham, the first thing that comes to a person's mind is the Jews. And when you say Jesus, the first thing that comes to your mind is Christianity. And, of course, Muhammad, the first thing that comes to your mind is Islam. So which one of them are greater? That's a good question. You should want to know that question. Which one? Because they all got something in common. Yes, they have something in common. Ephraim grew up with his daddy amongst idol gods, worship. Yes, idol gods worship. Okay, that is strong for him to not accept idol gods when his father was creating idol gods. But in Jesus, you ever look at Jesus? Jesus grew up around animals. Yes, he was amongst animals. You ever see it during Christmas? They got animals around him. But he was in an area in nativity as a little baby amongst animals. Muhammad the prophet, he was born and grew up amongst idol gods, idol worship. Isn't that amazing? How in the fact that all three of them come around idol gods? Is it a coincidence or does it happen? So what makes one greater than the other when they all have a similarity with them? But if you study Abraham, Abraham was a prophet, messenger of God, but God has no prophet, a messenger of God, and Abraham did not accept those idol gods. It didn't fit his nature. So he's more in tune with his nature than his daddy and over 360 idol gods will come to the Kaaba and they will pray in the Kaaba on their holy day. All idol gods. But someone went into that Kaaba and broke up all of God. They knew this was Abraham. Now we say Ephraim, but I say Abraham because we are a minority that says Ephraim. But billions of people, now we 1.5 billion, so we the minority amongst the majority. They say Abraham. We know what they're saying, but we say Abraham, they would not know what we say. So common sense says you use the words that they can relate to, but we understand, Murad, what you are referring to. So his father told him, matter of fact, asked him a question. Did you break up these guys? He said, ask the big one, because he left the big one. He said, don't get sassy with me. I need to know. I cannot ask my God. He cannot speak. Abraham said, your God cannot speak. So he went traveling. And because he seek knowledge, he left his family. It never speaks about his mother. But common sense says everybody's married. Today, it is not common sense. But back then, every prophet had a wife. Every prophet had children. However, he left his family and went searching. And as he searched for God, he used the physical things that he knew that there's no way that son could religiously every day. So it must be God. Well, it's not God because it's set. He knew then that it's not God. The same thing when you talk about the moon. When the moon comes out, it lights up. But it lights up in the sky. It don't really allow you to follow anything, but it sits there. What is that? Quarter of a moon? A half a moon? Full moon? That must be God. Because that's the way man sees it. So I'm quite sure the prophet saw it that way. But it's set. And because it's set, he knew that couldn't be God. And all of them move around at night. From one part of the country to the next part of the country,
is the stars. My God, do the stars come out. And the stars come out light up for you so you can see in the dark. That must be God. Came to him. It came to him with nobody talking to him. His nature told him that that cannot be God. So he went down to Satya. Didn't know it was Satya. But he just went down and bowed his head in entirely submission and said, "Oh Lord, the one that created the sun, the moon, the stars, I worship you." Yes. Now I can go on, but that's not the reason I mentioned these three prophets. It just gives you an idea, and I can instill in you that every human being got the same right as Abraham, is to be able to seek knowledge. You don't need a third party, because who was his third party? But he found God. And then all you know, he became very successful because the Jews love him. But then here comes Jesus. Now, Jesus was born among the animals. Abraham lived amongst the idols, gods that was created by his dad. But they both called animals. And he was just a baby, knew nothing about the world, but he grew up around animals. So there was a meaning for that. Why animals? And Jesus came here with the idea, he came from a womb. She was a virgin. His mother Mary, who loved him. But her job was to produce a righteous man, a man that comes from a pure understanding of God himself. Because God chose him. So he became the messenger of God. Now we all know that Jesus had done a lot of things. Because his job was to stop the Jews and multiply. So it says that he came to cut down the fig tree. The fig tree, not the apple tree, not the pear tree, the fig tree. But it was a metaphor to give you understanding that that's a lot of seeds. Seeds multiply. To Jerusalem, not to destroy Jerusalem, not to kill the Jews, but stop them from multiplying. So he began to preach. He preached what God gave him from birth to be able to speak about. Now, here come after him Muhammad. Muhammad came after Jesus. And Muhammad came after Jesus and was raised for 40 years, not knowing that he was in his nature. And Allah chose him because he disciplined, he was disciplined on his character. He was trustworthy, honesty, integrity, moral decency. Oh, that the people loved him. But here he was, the idol gods. They was worshiping idol gods, 360 gods, every year. But Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace upon them, wanted to teach them that there is no many gods. But they loved him. They loved him so well that when he came to the convention, when he came to the convention of the idol gods, he asked, could he speak when he got revelation? And when he asked, can he speak? They said, speak out of me, meaning the trustworthy one. Speak. That's how they loved him. The Jews loved him, the Christians loved him. Anything was born in that era loved that man for 40 years. Trust him with anything of their personal belongings.
He said, I want to tell you there's only one God. And the whole crowd said, oh. And from that day, they all was angry with him. So here it is that Abraham, for those who was building the idol gods, his daddy, Jesus grew up around the animals that people worship, the animals. If you go to Egypt, when they go to fight, they put on an animal hat. Anytime they want to show you they're tough, they wear a suit of clothing on their head as an animal. Tiger, lion, you name it, they wear it. Because why? What are they saying? What does all this animal mean? In your flesh, creation is us. So this is a metaphor to let you know, where is this animal? Animal with Abraham, animal with Jesus, animal with Muhammad. Presence, peace upon all of them. This animal they talking about is your animal flesh, not your nature. Your animal flesh, not your spirit. Your animal flesh, not your taqwa. Your animal flesh allows you to perform as an animal. So you stoop down in animal kingdom. Yes, for all the prophets had to be tested. And their test was, are you going to pray to an idol god? Now, what that got to do to today, the 2020 year? What that got to do in the 21st? Just as much as back then, it still is today. Your animal flesh allows you to stoop down like an animal. You ever see an animal? A dog don't care. You a female, it's jumping on your back. A lion don't care, it's jumping on your back. A bull, if you put him there with 25 different women, he'll bust his heart and on their back. Why? It's called sex. They're animals. And they have sex like animals. And so that is what they are created to do. And also you are created to have sex, but not down there in animal kingdom and you act like an animal. So we are animals in our way of sex. Care? We don't have no morals. You want to enter into any woman, brother, like an animal, like the bull, like the dog, like the cat. You want to be an animal and just go into anything you see that has something that you can enter into. And today, we don't care what it is. If it's a room to get in there, you want to get in there. You're down in an animal kingdom. But it's not just sex, that kingdom you're in. You're down there like an animal and you think like an animal. So you do things to people. Like animals will do. They're hungry, they want to eat. They come and hunt. They're going to find something to eat so they can live, so something must die. So even though they kill physically to eat, now you don't eat nobody's flesh, but you take away from that individual and you rob him of his knowledge. You rob him of his goodness. And you treat them like an animal. You treat them like an animal to the point now that you don't care. You don't care to be transparent. You don't care to be honest. You don't care to stand upright. You gave all that up. And it's so that
you're down there, and the animals are saying, human, what are you doing down here? Why don't you go back up there? Because we can't, because we're animals. The jinn comes to help you, because the jinn can be a devil in his way of life, that jinn. And he can trick you and con you and deceive you because he knows you down there in that animal kingdom. So when you're down there, you're not listening. So you don't care no more how you trick the people and con the people, how you take their money and don't let them know how much money you got. That's gone in all religions. Not just in Islam, it's in Christianity, it's in Judaism. Because why? You're all human beings. And all you have a right to choose to be down in animal kingdom. So you didn't think Allah had to send a messenger to do what? To clean you up? But what makes Jesus and Muhammad and Abraham have something in common? They all got something in common. But look what God says. There is no prophet over top of another prophet. Wow. Did you get it? You cannot put Abraham over top of Jesus. And you can't put Jesus and Abraham over top of Muhammad. And you can't put Muhammad over top of Jesus and Abraham. Do you get it? So there's no reason for you, human, to question God that he says there's no prophet over top of another prophet. Wow. What is these prophets for? For Allah sends them to us. And they are human. And they make mistakes. But they come to do the work of Allah. Because there's only one God. And all of them follow Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name. So with that said, there are seminaries. And if you look at all the prophets, and I only picked three, so we take the three. So we should think about that, that Allah gave Muhammad and Muhammad as a in dying with the understanding that he was a moral man. Yes. So he sent them as an indication as a mortal man. But God already gave Jesus to the world. That was for Muhammad. And I reiterate, amongst the animals in their nativity as a little boy, little baby, amongst animals. But he kept his human excellence, meaning he wasn't like you. He didn't go down to animal kingdom. Jesus lived his life in human excellence, and he died in his human excellence. That's what Jesus did. But behind him, Jesus came after Abraham. But Muhammad came as a living man. Yes, a living man
after Jesus, behind Jesus, came a living man, Muhammad the prophet, who made the physical chains of the world. The people supported him, and he made a physical chain, Muhammad the prophet, the seal of the prophet. Now, when you look at things like this, brothers and sisters, it will come to your mind that he must have been the best one at all. No. So I like to use this metaphor. When you are baking a cake, you have to put the ingredients in that cake. Sugar, butter, eggs, flour, and etc. You have to put it in there. And you've beaten it all up. Don't look like anything. But when you put it in the bowl and put it in the oven, when you put it in the oven and bake it, you come back in about an hour, that cake is done. But when you slice that cake, you won't ever, when you touch it, you ever hear anybody say, my God, this sugar sure tastes good. This butter sure tastes good. These eggs sure taste good. Wow, I can taste the flour. No, without those ingredients, it would not be a cake. My God, this cake sure tastes delicious. That covers all of it. Without having to repeat their name over and over again and be redundant, and the human being will say, what the hell is wrong with this person that he's talking about how the eggs taste or how the butter tastes? That don't come to your mind because why? You are set in your five senses that you want a piece of that delicious cake. But you don't think about the ingredients. When you say cake and that butter's not in there, and that sugar's not in there, you would say something's wrong with this cake. It does not taste good at all. So Muhammad the prophet, the seal of the prophet, is all the prophets, not just these three. I don't care how many you count, they all are the ingredients in Muhammad the prophet. Wow. So Allah says when you greet the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. You don't have to greet the eggs. You don't have to greet the butter and the flour. No. You say, peace and blessings be upon the prophet and his descendants and his companions. You're talking about all the prophets as one. That's where I can put it to you. Now that you can conceive that, you understand that the prophet came in moderation. Our first living prophet was our father, Adam. And all these prophets is descendant of Adam. And all these prophets have the type of Adam in each one of them. Did you forget Adam? Because if Adam and Eve did not come, that's why we say Adam, because they are one soul, we wouldn't be here. So you always got to check the history and then come up to the present and then work for the future. If you does not do that, brother, you're just out here just whistling in Dixie and don't have a clue what's going on. So that's why I came up with the three prophets. Now, what makes Abraham very popular? Because the first man that God gave the permission, yes, he did, was the Jews. And they created Christianity. Allah didn't create Christianity. Allah gave them permission and their good intention to be able. But you have to understand, brothers and sisters, You have to understand, if you just sit as you're doing in your home because of this COVID-19, and just think about what I'm saying. Just reflect on it. And you will come to the conclusion that Abraham was important. So during that time, when Muhammad the prophet won the war, which was the last battle, they begin to gravitate to him. Because why? He's a winner. Nobody liked it, Muhammad Ali, until he kept winning. Now everybody loves him. Why? Because he's a winner. He won the war with least men with him. He was outnumbered. So they knew there had to be God's will for him to win the war. So the Christians began to love him. The Hindus began to come over to Al-Islam. And they was not intelligent to be able to build their life. But hold that point. They asked Muhammad the prophet, what prayer can we make you in our mind if you pass away that won't allow us to offend our religion? You say it, I say it, anybody that makes dua say it. But we say it in our prayers, O Allah, Muhammad, and the fathers of Muhammad, as thou did bless Abraham, which is Abraham, with our Christians. So you don't get them mixed up. They all one. Abraham and his followers. So we are begging Allah to help Muhammad like he did Abraham and his followers. And it goes further. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as thou did bless Abraham, as the followers of Abraham. Brothers and sisters, what you thought was just words? Dua, that's a prayer. We say it all the time, but we just don't know why we say it. Back then, the Jews was the chosen one. Back then, the Jews were successful. Back then, the followers of Abraham was loyal. So why not ask God to allow us to be the same way? So that prayer alone tells you that Allah gave them permission. He wills and he permits. Gave them permission to create their own religion. Now, we didn't talk about Moses, because Moses brought the law. They loved Moses. Why? They loved the law. But Abraham is the one that got the significance on it about how we should govern ourselves today. Now, I'm here to tell you, remember Dean Muhammad, who taught me over decades personally. I didn't find him. I don't go and seek the post. So I never bothered my leader, but he came to me over and over and over, teaching me how to see that Holy Quran. And he said to me, this is Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speech. He said to me, lead this community to humanity. All the people in my community is in the same predicament they was in decades ago. They don't have anything. They don't have economics. They don't have their own schools. They don't have their airplanes in the sky. They don't manufacture their own automobiles. They don't have land and produce all vegetables. They don't have our own cows and sheep and any type of animal that we can eat. They don't grow that. They don't have factories and major stores. They don't own anything in the mall. If they do, it's an exception to the rule. Leave them. Go to humanity. Who is successful? And they say, oh, Allah, make Jesus successful. And the followers of Jesus. Oh, Allah, make Moses successful. And the followers of Moses. Why did Allah choose Abraham? Because you can't let a leaf fall from the tree without the will of Allah. It has to be his will to allow you to do what you have to do. That's good. Anything you do on your own that's not good, don't give it to Allah. The Jews were successful, so I went amongst the Jews. And the Jews taught me industry on a major level. I can't tell you that I learned it from anyone else. I'd be remiss. Because I had to deal with the powers, the being in the networks that was Jewish. And I love what they did. They hired men and women that was former athletes. And I pondered in my mind why they was former athletes. They never went on to the NBA or the NFL. What is the reason? Because they get up in the morning. They like to win. They're a team sport. It's about the team. It's not about the individual. It's about the team. So athletes are team players. You know, I was watching a movie, and his father used to beat up his son because he's going for the big one, Heisman Trophy. And this man used to get so many touchdowns. But in order for him to get that Heisman Trophy, this last game, he had to win. So the pressure was on him, even though his father used to beat him up, punch him in the face and everything. He feared his dad. And the game was on, and they only had about 3 seconds left. But they got 5 yards to get across that goal line to win this game. And this boy can run through anybody. But when they hand him the ball, he saw 2 big men on the goal line that's going to stop him. He ran, but they won the game. How did they win the game? He passed it off to a guy they didn't think they would touch. And he won the game. His father was hot. His father wanted to beat him up. You blew the trophy. Y'all blew the trophy. He said, Dad, we won the game. That's not happening with us. No, it's not. They want to be in the leadership and don't want to pass off anything. So they're in position for decades and can't produce nothing. And you sit around nothing, unproductive, because you forgot that you are in charge. You thought it was the individual. This is a team. That was a team sport. So they got up every morning in that ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, Showtime, Fox Network, HBO. They was there in the morning working for the team. Do what? To make it successful. How is it, brothers and sisters, that we read the Holy Quran? Where's our team? Where's our team and want to win? Where is it that we are taught there's no big eyes and little U's? Where are we? We don't want to sleep.
or a dead man walking. And you want people to respect you, so I had to leave and go where they're successful. Rod, you never give up. One door shut, you go to the next door. You never think that you can't do it. Oh, this is in tune with what I've been taught, that you are not in charge. Allah is in charge, and I trust in my Lord. This is right. I can't do nothing just for myself because Allah wouldn't give it to me. Then why are you here? I'm here to help those who can't help themselves. Why are you here? I'm here to give back to my community. Why are you here? I'm here to please Allah and my taqwa. You see, when you have people like that, you become successful. So I remember distinctly, angel said, tell them this. I remember distinctly that the imam came to Kasiko Fieldhouse. That's the person, the owner of the Pacers. I didn't know how he got there. I asked the twins, who went and got him? Nobody. How did he get here? By himself. Who's with him? He's by himself. So I had to go to the dugout because we always put him in the dugout. We can protect him like that, but he's really on the center of the floor, close to the ring. But you don't know that because that's where all of the ice skate people sit at, and that's where the baseball players will sit at. So I am in the dugout. So when I came, he got up, walked up the little steps and came to me. And he hugged me, told me he loved me. I said, brother, man, what are you doing here by yourself? I told you not to send me those fancy cars. He wouldn't ride a Mercedes or a limo. He said, because my father's not able to ride cars like that. I never sent another one again. So I said, look up there, brother Imam. I said, what do you see? He said, I see success. I said, you see any of us? He said, nope. I said, 22,000 here in this arena. He said, you went to all humanity. That's what I told you to do. I said, Allahu Akbar. So I learned how to run my business. When you got to have $10 million a year and you don't have no friends or no associates or no uncle or aunt or mother, even a wife can't give you that kind of money. So you got to go and say, oh, Allah, bless Muhammad and the fellows of Muhammad as thou did bless Abraham. And Allah bless me. So I'm living to tell the truth that you can't be known in every. People say, why you don't go on Instagram? Why don't you go on this? Why don't you go on that? It's not that I don't want to do it. I prefer to do what I'm doing now until I see the proper time to do just that. Because I can't just go on the air and not look up the part. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. And some people think I'm from India. Some people think I'm from this part of the world, that part of the world. Or I'm a native, or I'm an Arab. I never wanted that type of recognition. I chose to be an African American Muslim. So New Africa came about because we don't know our culture in Africa. Now, I've been to many continents. And I'm telling you right now, the sun don't agree with me. The water don't agree with me. It gives me diarrhea. So I could not live there. And I can't walk around where there's no cement or no tar, nothing but dirt, dirt, dirt. So I didn't like it. Couldn't wait to come home because 120-degree weather. That's not me. 400 years, they burned that out of me. So I don't want to go to Africa, but to visit, yes. They gave me $14 million. Just go to the newspaper, look up Jerry Eisenberg, and you will see he's talking about Muhammad landing in Ghana, and the president gave me $14 million. Not their currency, American currency, because I can't cash their currency. And that $14 million might be $300,000 in American money. So I can't take their currency. They got to put my money in the bank in America. But nevertheless, I had to go there. I had to go to Kenya. I asked the President of the United States of America to give me the rights to do alternative to the Olympics. Carter gave it to me. I've done a lot of things in Africa, but I can't wait to get home. And when I came home, the carpet says in all different languages, the red carpet says, "Welcome to America." I went down in Saja and realized it's a blessing being here in America. This is what our family built. We should have a piece of it. I'm not going nowhere. Just give me my piece. However, if I didn't go around the globe, I wouldn't see this. So I'm in every newspaper in this country, every library in this country, because you got to have the statistics in your library. And I'm on every, I don't care what you put in, Google, Yahoo, you can put in Wikipedia, you can put in anything you want, I'm going to pop up. I didn't do that. But I asked Allah to make me large so I come back and say the things I'm saying to you today. Now, who thought that I will give you in English that you can relate to what I've already did in my actions and deeds? Because you cannot be successful out there in that world and be a thief. To be a womanizer, to abuse people and not be transparent and not help those just steal from them. Allah would not have made me successful. But because I learned what the Imam Rafi'i Muhammad said, he said, come back and help them. And I was given $200-$300 paying for them to eat lunch with me. Whether it was in Jersey, whether it was in New York, whether it was in Philadelphia, I paid out a lot of money to say, allow me to show you economics. Well, they took pictures. They ate the food. They was happy, but nothing materialized. Then I said, well, let's create a corporation and don't invest it in boxing. Because you'll get rich overnight, but you don't know nothing about it. So let's invest in real estate. Pasha, may Allah be pleased with my grand paradise, he created the name Pi. That was our corporation name, a piece of the pie. Everybody was putting up $1,000, and this is talking about 30 years ago. And all we was going to do was buy real estate, more real estate, because my Jewish brothers taught me how to buy. And you buy estate, apartment buildings, and you don't never sit around. You invest in another one. Then you invest in another one. You'll never let they call dead wood sitting around. And we was in a meeting, and a group of men says, we don't want to be a part of this. I said, why not? Well, we're trying to do that ourselves. I said, yes, for you all, for y'all 10 brothers. Keep doing what you're doing. This is for the community. The community going to own this real estate. They didn't do it. I had to back up. Now, fast forward. I was doing something and speaking to the imam. I don't want to mention his name. And when I got in my limo, a brother came to the automobile and said, Murad, I apologize. I said, what do you apologize for? You remember when you tried to create Pi? Well, we didn't get it back then. I'm the one that bust that up. I told them to leave you. So I said, well, why are you apologizing? Because now I see it. I said, oh, that's alhamdulillah. But don't talk to the imam. I said, why not? He has no power here. I said, what do you mean by that? He has no power. He's just a front. I said, well, why would you call him a front? He's Farah. Excuse me? And then it hit me. The females like him because he's my year Farah. So you use him. You damn right we're using him. But I'm letting you know, come to me if you want anything. I couldn't do it. I said, brother, I don't need him to be no more than an imam. I'll take care of all the rest. But I had problems with a man wanting to be independent. So things happened. So then I get a call from my beautiful sister, lovely sister, Aisha. And I called Aisha. Oh, sorry. Aisha called me. And the imam said, Aisha want to talk to you. She want to honor me. I said, no problem. But you have to do it my way. She said, what do you like to do? I want to bring you to New Jersey. She said, well, what do we have to do? Nothing. Tell me how many tables you need. You come in here and we'll hand you a check. She said, whoa. How much you going to charge? $100. She said, no, Maran. Imam Wadazim Muhammad said, don't burden the people. I said, this ain't for the broke people. This is for the men and women that has $1,000. We need 10 people at them tables. She said, you will be able to do that? I said, Allah is the God. I sell out arenas around this country. So fast forward. It became one of the biggest successes today in the history of the Muslim Journal. And it happened on a storm, the worst storm of snow. You couldn't go nowhere. But I had a lot of people in town, in these hotels. And I remember when the Caucasian Irishman called me, the owner of the restaurant, casino in the park. A lot of brothers and sisters didn't want to go to the casino in the park because in their mind, it was a gamble casino. No, the casino means elegant. Picture on the wall with the President Clinton. This is the most beautiful, cleanest kitchen I've been in this country. Why did I go there? Because I remember as a young man, I was with Muhammad Ali at the Apollo Theater, and he said, brothers and sisters, I thank you for honoring me, but why you come here? You can get this place without me. Why don't you put me at the Waldorf? You would have got in with my name. And I thought about that. I said, yes, we brought him down. We should come up to his level and went to the Waldorf. I remember that. By the way, I lived in the Waldorf because of that. For 2 years, $1,000 a day. That was my home. That was my home with my wife. That's where we lived. Because I was doing everything in New York. But the point I'm saying to you, she said, Marat, we got 1,000 people coming. That's 1,000 birds. Do you want me to cook it? And let's postpone it. I said, cook it. Suppose no one comes. I said, we'll give it away to charity. Sadaqah. She said, okay. We packed that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And we sold 1,500 seats accidentally. Because the imam wasn't supposed to touch those five. We had ordered too many. But guess what? They were sold. If it had not been that snowstorm, we would have caught hell because 500 people would not have been able to get in that hotel, pardon me, that restaurant. And I'll never forget when it was over and we closed out,
Donald Payne drove all the way from Washington, D.C., moving because he was being honored. And they said, Donald Payne is here. Donald Payne is here. I opened it back up. And he came and spoke and said, this is a miracle. So I said, that was something. He spoke that well. So when the owner came to me, the young lady said, Ronan, do you talk directly to God? I laughed. I said, yes, you do too. He closed it in your jugular vein. Said, Murad, this is a miracle. There we go again. I turned to Aisha and said, that's the title of the front page of this newspaper, A Miracle in Jersey City. You see, brothers and sisters, you can only try. And then, of course, we went a little further because Imam's son wanted to come. And they said, well, we're going to go on 1 and 9. I said, oh, no, we're not. We're going to Somerset. Somerset, are you out your mind? Who's coming to Somerset? I said, if you can go to Hodge, you can take a ride for 20 minutes and come to Somerset, New Jersey. And Jonah Dillow, I said, go search for me a building. And he found one. I said, that's our building. And I brought 1,000 rooms. Everybody said I was crazy. 9,000 people showed up. I gave the credit to the email. I don't need that credit. So they went around me and started calling him. It's okay. And now they're back in Newark doing 100, maybe 200. These are the things that happen. So I said, okay, I'm going to go with my brother that wear the robes, kufis. I'm going to go amongst them because we grew up together. Yes, I had to battle with them because them brothers can read their Quran in Arabic. But a whole lot of them couldn't define it. That's the key. The Arabic is not for you to teach. Yes, come to my class on Monday or Tuesday and learn the language if that's what you want to learn. But the language of the Quran is for you to learn it, the root of what God is saying, and give it to them in their language so they can read it too one day. You don't need me. Allah will give you the understanding. You're going to be on the shortest sword for 3 years. Before you can comprehend it. This ain't no fast course. You got to prove that your heart is in it. Amen. Words Muhammad told me that anybody that tells you that you read that Quran and the Arabic, which is a proper language, but let's say the Quran Arabic, and they not progressing, is two reasons. Their heart is not right, so Allah don't give it to them, or they curse. Because you cannot learn the language of God and not evolve. So if you're doing it for yourself, you're not going to evolve. If you're stealing for yourself, you're not going to evolve. If you're lying and cheating and not transparent, you're not going to evolve. If you're doing it for your wife and children, Allah will not give it to you. Well, who is this for, Murad? The community. The community is in charge. We vote you in, we vote you out. But this myth that Allah's earth, Abu Masjid, Allah. Allah's whole earth is a mess. And who the hell are you to tell a person he can't come in or she can't come in because she never came to that masjid? When we put our head on the earth, this is modern technology, so you got a wooden floor, so you got a carpet floor. Yes, you're in a house or you're in a masjid,
But under that is the earth. There's no such thing as a building. Your head, your forehead goes on the earth that gave you birth. So how do you control God's earth? Because that house can blow it away. An earthquake can swallow it up. But no one can destroy God's earth. So above Masjid Allah. So you bow your head on God's earth. We're earthly people. That's the womb we came through. The earth. So who the hell are you to tell me I'm a Christian, but I can't come into that graveyard? You done dominated the earth just like Satan come in because his religion say Christianity. Well, he drink. A lot of the Muslims in Al-Islam drink. Well, he does coke. A lot of them does coke. Well, he smoked reefer. A lot of them smoke reefer. Well, he fornicate. Oh, a lot of them fornicate. Well, the women in Christianity just give free sex. Those in Al-Islam give free sex. You can't judge an individual. You ain't create yourself. You can't judge yourself. So who the hell are you to judge anyone? But we don't get wrapped up. But look what God says. Now that grave site that you create, you can't even go there. That little hole in the wall, that corner store, or that old building that you just remodeled, you can't go to the masjid. Oh, you can spread them apart. They ain't gonna bother you. But you can't pack the place. So where is your masjid? Where is your earth? We all went backwards. We're being told what to do and how to do it. And so they all fumbling. They all want, they're giving this, they're giving that, send your money in for what? You got our money. But we don't know where it's at. And if you tell us where it's at, we don't know how much. We don't let, nobody shows us. So you don't think the President of the United States don't talk to the shriners? These boys ain't practicing this religion. How could they be in that situation and know the Quran? This is simple. So the President, Donald Trump, says you might as well vote for me because the men you vote for and the women you vote for, they are not their own person. And you will get nothing as you've been getting nothing. So here it is, 2.5 million people is unemployed. And you don't like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May Allah be pleased and grant paradise. Say, do for self, self in kind. But we loved each other. We would give our life for each other. We give our life for our women. Today, guess what in the hell is she doing? You have to guess what in the hell is he doing. So we hesitate. Hesitation, you lose your life. Let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. I got a few more minutes left. You know what I fear? I fear that history is going to repeat themselves. So when you take a man's money and he's weak for his money, he will kill you. There's no security on these imams. They don't even understand they can die by saying the wrong thing because there's crazy people out here. And the only way you can be protected is to stay in paradise. Paradise, while you live, is no stealing. While you live, not being an egotistic maniac. While you live, you got to be honest, transparent, and you're supposed to be for the people. But we are so that you got Springfield, you got Bergen Street, you got downtown, you got East Orange. How dare you say that those cities represent God's earth? A man want to know where's the masjid, where's the masala, that he can bow his head on the rug without being in the rain or the snow or the heat. Where's air conditioning? You say can't come in because he don't have your school of thought. You hate your brother because he's successful, and you against Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's more successful than all y'all collectively. Why? Because our children are going to school. Our children are not getting high. Our children are becoming doctors and lawyers. They're creating their own network, their own communication. And they take care of their babies. And they marry. No such thing as running around being a bachelor. Is that not al-Islam? Is that not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You see, brothers and sisters, again, we read, but Muhammad left them. Yes, he left them, but he inspired them. Yes, he inspired them in knowledge, in science, economics. He inspired them in education. This is what Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayer and peace be upon him, left us with. And he was what? He was Arab? No, he wasn't. Well, what was his nationality? He had none. What is the color of his complexion? We don't know. We don't even go by hearsay. It's not important. Then who is he? He's a perfect example to all humanity. So a very intelligent female said to me, Murat, will I be wrong to say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called them devils and he did the right thing? I said, my sister, I sat in front of my Jews that supported me and my Italians and my Irishmen. And I said, when I was a young man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said all white folks were devils. Devil. So, yes. But I said, if you get up and walk away, you won't understand. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smart. He knew as we were deaf, dumb, and blind, unintelligent, I don't care how broke you are. No one loves the devil. And here they called us three for the human being. Hell, man, you can't be a devil as an animal. So we were three-fifths of an animal. And they got away with it. Now the Honorable Muhammad called them a devil. Those who did it, yes, they're a devil. But my grandma was white. My grandma was a Caucasian. She was Jewish. But she married my grandpa. So I had all white folks except my grandma. He was smart because he knew if we didn't give up those white people who was over top of us for 400 years, he taught us they the devil. Nobody loves the devil, but who are we? I'm like Mama said, you're the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet, follow the civilization, God of the universe. That allowed us to evolve in feeling superior over top of the devil. Boy, oh boy, we no longer had an inferior complex. But in 1975, oh, I
sitting there doing theology of time for 27 weeks in a row, I heard him say, get out of kindergarten. Got my attention, but I couldn't comprehend it. He said, kindergarten, you learn colors. Get out of kindergarten. Your brother that treats you like a brother is your brother. And your brother that treats you like an enemy is your enemy, regardless of whatever their color of their skin is. I said, wow. As a young boy, I loved my white grandma. And in my family, I thank Allah for my wife who helped raise my children. That 10% of them married to Caucasian women. And those babies came out of that Caucasian womb. And those my grandchildren. My father told me this would happen. But my daddy came out of a Jewish womb. So the Jewish people said, if you came out of that womb, you are a Jew. So they called me Jewish. But my daddy taught me, you are Native Indian. Now, all that sounds good to me, but it confused me because I was raised by an African-American black woman. I said black. Oh, I love that woman. So I wanted to be under her tutors. So I'm black. But then I came to the conclusion, and I said it to my Jewish people, I'm blessed. I was humanity. I can love all of you if you treat me right. And so I got a Jewish lawyer that told a group of Jews, they said, who is this Muhammad? He said, no, his name is Muhammad. Murad? No, Murad. He said, if he's dying and I can take an organ from my body to keep him alive that I don't die, I would give it to him. I said, Harvey, may Allah be pleased in Grand Paradise. He passed away a few months ago. I said, Harvey, you love me like that? He said, my mama loved you. She did. She used to make all my stationery. He said, but when you went to Shiva with us, that's the Nazareth for us, and stayed there and did not know the words of the rabbi, but you never left. He said, I'll never forget. So don't tell me that that man we call white, because there's no such thing as white man in the Revelation, it's red. They made him white, but okay. But he was like my brother, biological brother. And we come from two different wombs. But we all come from the womb of the earth. We are the children of Adam. Until you grow into that understanding, you'll never get anything in this world. You come penniless and you'll die penniless. Now, that don't mean leave $1 billion behind. That means leave your taqwa behind. Leave your good intentions behind. Yes, leave your character behind. That Allah created us to be an asset to the world and not a burden. I thank you for listening. And if I say anything to hurt anyone, that is not my intention at all. I ask you for forgiveness. And when I make my great prayer, I would beg Allah, if I said anything wrong, to forgive me. If I said anything wrong, brothers and sisters, I'm human. SubhanAllah. Allah is the best knower. We all make mistakes. But do we go to God and ask him to forgive us? That's what erases your mistake. Said anything for you to stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit,
stand up in your gene of fitra and the nature in which you was created. Stand up in your taqwa. Stand up in your obedience to God. You cannot give me that credit. All I'm giving you is the words from Allah. All I'm reading to you is the Holy Quran. And just breaking it down in the meaning. And don't ever think it's just one meaning to Allah. Word. One word. There's many meanings. Yes. This is not reading man's words. No one could take credit for the Quran. Prophet Muhammad was a slave servant of God. And he gave you what God says. Nothing else. That's what makes him perfect other than us. He gave you God's word, which is perfect. There's no doubt in the Holy Quran. It allows you to see the Injil, the Bible, the gospel, whatever you like to speak to, give it the words. And you can see the Torah. I don't stay in those books, but Satan will stay in there more than us. And you'll get hung up. But you can read things that you can see has a similarity. The closest thing to Islam is Christianity. Why you say that, Marah? Well, just think about it. Genesis all the way to Revelation. That's the Bible. And Allah started the Quran with Revelation, extension of the Bible, all the way to Hamas. The difference is Allah correct was not in the Bible that speaks about God. Nothing else. He don't care about any of that rhetoric. Whatever you said about God will be more clear to you in the Holy Quran. But Allah says, oh, you Jews, Christians, and Sabius allows you to bear witness that there's only one God in the hereafter. He ain't asking for anything else. There's no compulsory in the Islam. You accept it. But I say this to you, don't come and play with it. Because it'll take you to hell. Christianity and be a good one. That's all Allah is asking, to be a good one. There will be no burden on you all in the final day of judgment. So I greet you from our father Adam, which none of us really talk about. You should read about Adam, and maybe you'll see yourself as the foundation, the Khalifa. And I greet you from Abraham. We say Ibrahim, but Abraham. He is a father also, but not a biological father, the father of the intellectual mind and all nationalities. So you don't have no excuse. And I greet you from Jesus. Jesus Christ, meaning Christ. And Jesus said, one will come after me. My God, did he not come? I greet you from Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace upon him 1,400 years ago. We ask Allah with the excellent suit. And that salutation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions and his descendants. But Muhammad the Prophet was orphaned. So all you had said, my mother wasn't around, my daddy wasn't around, it's no excuse. Who raised him? Other women. But you need that sensitivity and that love and affection still in you as a young man. You don't get that from your mama. 9 out of 10 of you go to the streets. But daddy put that stability in your life. Let you know there's a real world out there. And Allah said, you will be tried. I tried those before you. Who are you not to be tried? And so when I read in the Holy Quran, Allah says, I am not over your affair. Wow. You can handle this. COVID-19, you can handle this separation. You can handle this, these men just not producing. You can handle it if you come together as a community. One Ummah. For our Jehovah Witnesses, for our Seventh-day Adventists, for our Christians, Baptists, whatever you want to call yourself. Yes, and our brothers and sisters of the FOI and the MGT and Minnesota Farrakhan is one community. Don't separate the Jews from us, the Christians from us, the Hindus from us. Don't separate that one that didn't accept any religion. Deal with his character, for he's a Muslim in his nature. Talk to his nature. That's the problem. We're talking to the spirit, and we're talking to the soul. We're not talking to the intellect. And these are intelligent men and women. I'm your host tonight. My name is Murad Muhammad. And I shall return on Monday, inshallah, from 7 to 8:45. Tomorrow, Sister Dr. Okindo, Dorothy Okindo, and she likes to teach at 7 to 8. You are your own physician. You say, Allah bless those who got the COVID-19. Protect them. And those who are trying to stay away from the COVID-19. And we ask Allah for those who are well to help the ill, and especially our children and our seniors. Seniors, number one, because the children can fight that unless they're internally ill. And take your vitamin C, your vitamin 3, your vitamin D, and your vitamin 6. Zinc. Take it. Keeps your immune system very strong. And it will help you, inshallah. Tyree, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Thank you for tuning in, and God be with you. Peace and love.